Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'm inviting you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Remember, the show, The Flatline, is always about motivation and inspiration and education, and we do it with no manipulation, which means we have no hidden agendas because we're not trying to sell you anything, and we certainly are not trying to get you to join anything. The only thing that we're trying to do on this radio show is to give you accurate biblical information, not human speculation, but accurate biblical information. It'll help you orient and adjust to God's plan. So if we can verify and identify the plan of God for you, then hopefully you can orient and adjust. You know that this show is predicated on the FLOT line, F-L-O-T, FLOT, the forward line of troops. And what we try to do is teach you God's wonderful problem-solving devices so that in spite of the outside pressure of adversity, you can live a life free of stress by forming a defensive perimeter in your soul based on the promises found in the Word of God. This gives you a FLOT line, a forward line of troops, a defensive perimeter that'll stop the outside pressure of adversity from ever becoming the inside pressure of stress. This is a wonderful system that God has designed for us as believers in Jesus Christ. Once you make the most significant decision in your life, which is to accept Jesus Christ, God's anointed Son, as your Savior, from there you begin a fantastic journey. And that journey is called spiritual growth or your spiritual life. Remember that a spiritual birth requires spiritual growth. And the spiritual birth is when you believe in Jesus Christ. We talked about that recently on this show. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again spiritually. Not physically, but spiritually. And when you're born again spiritually, the end result of that is that you have inside of you a new spirit. A spiritual birth brings you spiritually alive. That dead human spirit that was born dead, dormant, separated from God because of sin, is born again. Still got the same body, still got the same soul, but now a new human spirit and a spiritual birth. And now the battle rages, because are you going to let your old sin nature control your life, or are you going to let the Holy Spirit control your life, who now lives inside of you? That's right. When you believe in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and empower you. And the Bible clearly says the flesh will war against the spirit, and the spirit will war against the flesh, and these will be contrary one to the other. So if you will walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So learning to live the Christian life entails, first of all, learning problem-solving device number one, rebound, or how to recover from sin, and then learning problem-solving device number two, which is how to let the Holy Spirit control your life. And that occurs every time you rebound. Every time you rebound, you are filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not some weird second blessing where you foam at the mouth and your eyes roll back in your head. It is you naming your sin to God and the quenching of the Spirit or the grieving of the Spirit that you've done because by means of personal sin that's alleviated and your spiritual life is resumed. But whenever you sin, your spiritual life is put on pause and your old sin nature takes over. We've talked about that a whole lot. Learning how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Learning how to let the Holy Spirit control your life. That takes you to the stage called spirituality. Spirituality in the Christian life is you being filled with the Spirit. And lack of spirituality is you being carnal or carnality. So at any one time in your spiritual life, you're either carnal or you're spiritual. There's no in between. But that's just the first step of the Christian life. And the second step of the Christian life in regards to being spiritual or spirituality, and then we go to maturity. And that's you growing to be a mature believer. That's you going from 0 to 100. That's you going from being a baby Christian to being an adult Christian. The writer of Hebrews talks about it in Hebrews 5:11, where he says you've been saved a long time now and you ought to be teaching others, but instead you've had to go back and pick up the first basic doctrines again. You can read it for yourself. And he says, you're like a baby. You can't handle strong meat. You need a bottle. And he says, I would like to tell you some things, but you're a little dull of hearing. You know, this happens a lot in Christians' life. Their forward momentum spiritually gets distracted, and they get discouraged in their spiritual life. And part of the reason is because they never get enough information. They never grow. Sometimes they get involved in a local church that is ritual without reality. And there's no momentum established spiritually, so all they do is begin to play the game of the consummate, convenient Christian. Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next Sunday, God. We call them affectionately the nod to God crowd. The Christian life is a lot more than that. It's you growing to become a spiritually mature believer. And the way that happens, you hear me talk about it a lot on this show, there can be no spiritual growth until you get into the program that God has designed. And that program starts with a pastor in a church. And you've heard me repeatedly say you've got to get under the authority of a qualified pastor so that you can grow spiritually and you can grow to maturity. But without sitting under a qualified pastor who can teach you the Word of God, at best, you're going to flounder around. You're going to try to find somebody's internet show that you can go to and pull a few principles off. You're going to read a little daily devotion. Or you're going to do something. You're going to be hungry, but you're never going to be quite fed. It's like me when I go fishing, eating Little Debbie snack cakes instead of coming off the lake and having a steak. So when you sit under a qualified pastor, that's not a Little Debbie snack cake. That's a steak. You're going to sit under a man that God has equipped, who's given a spiritual gift, who God has prepared through seminary training, who has the training of the languages, who understands what's going on, and can break it down and teach it to you in such a way that you can apply it into your life. Now, fortunately today, we have the privilege of having that sort of man here in the studio. And so I'm going to introduce to you my lifelong wonderful friend. He's here with us, and I'm going to let him speak a little bit. His name is Pete Daughtry. Pete, welcome to the radio show.
Thank you, Rick. Nice to be here today.
Pete is the pastor of Albany Bible Church in Albany, Georgia, and has been the pastor of that church for 35 years. Now, that's some kind of record. Most pastors stay 3 or 4 years and hit the road because they run out of sermons. But Pete has been at Albany Bible Church for 35 years. And Pete and I became friends in the about the mid-70s when the Lord brought our paths across each other. So I want Pete to talk to you today and share with you a little bit about what it means to be a pastor teacher in a local church and his approach to how he does things at his church. And you'll hear the difference because you've seen other churches and you know how things work. But Pete, we'll start off with this. If anybody wants to contact you, they can always go to your website, which is albanybiblechurch.org, albanybiblechurch.org.
Yes.
And there's a contact us button.
Exactly. Yeah.
If they want to contact you,
right,
they can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's start off with this, Pete. Where is your home? Where did you come from?
Well, I was born and raised right there in Albany, Georgia.
You were?
Yes, I was.
So
I
went wound up back where you came from.
I sure did, yeah.
And now you went, tell us when you became a Christian.
About 3 months before I graduated from high school, when I was 18 years old, is when I found the Lord in a Sunday school class, a non-denominational church. And so I made the decision to receive Christ. I'd probably been the Lord had been dealing with me probably for a year or so. And I came to know Christ at the age of 18.
18 years old.
Right.
And then from there, where did you go?
Well, I stayed at home for about a year and worked, and then I went off to Bible college. And I went off way up to Chicago.
Mm. What was the name of that school?
It was Emmaus Bible College. It has now moved to Dubuque, Iowa. It's where they're located, the campus now. And so I went to school there and was there for a couple of years. And came out and married my present wife, Peggy. We've been married 44 years, and she also went up there, and we came home and got to work in the church and began to raise a family and was the youth director there in the church and using all the information. I had more questions, however, when I came out of school than I did when I went in. And one of the greatest questions was, how do you live this Christian life? Like you were saying a while ago, we saw a lot of activities and a lot of things that people said you had to do to be a Christian. And sometimes that was a little discouraging because I found out I couldn't do all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can identify with that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that became a great question. And, of course, another question was, what did the Lord want me to do? What did he have in mind for Peg and myself as we began our family? We now have 4 grown children, 8 grandchildren. And my daughter, she's about 2.5 hours away, but the rest of them are right there in the church with us. which we are very thankful for. But anyway, I went off to school, like I said. I came back and began to work in the church a little bit. And then I became interested in studying the Word. I really had a desire. I think God had given me a desire to know the Word of God. As a matter of fact, even before I went off to Bible college, during that year after I was saved, I was put in charge of a young boys' class there in the church. And I think that's where my hunger for the Word really, really started. And I just became fascinated with what God was doing and what I found in the Word of God.
Now, when exactly did you determine that you were supposed to be a pastor?
Well, I guess it was a series of events. I began to teach independent Bible classes. I had youth group classes, and then I started teaching some adult classes. And it was probably about 1973. About a year or so before I actually took the pastorship, maybe 72, 73, right in there, is when I really discovered that I had the gift of pastor teacher. And I just began praying what the Lord wanted me to do. And then this little church in Albany had gotten started while my wife and I, we'd been away for about 5 years. We had moved up to Middle Georgia, to Macon, Georgia. And began to pray about what the Lord wanted us to do. And this little church in Albany, which is Albany Bible Church, I got in contact with them, and they wanted me to come and try out for the pastor candidate, be a candidate. They were looking for a pastor. They never had a pastor. As a matter of fact, they had only been started about 8 months, I guess.
Yeah, that was a home Bible study.
It's a home Bible study,
right. Started by Colonel Charles Chitty, who's now gone to be with the Lord.
That's right. And so it started in his home as a home Bible class. And they had rented some property, and they invited me down. I did a few classes for them, and then they approached me and wanted me to become the pastor. And we moved down there in 74, by June of 74, and been there ever since. Been back home.
Now, Pete, most churches meet on Sunday morning, and they have a big choir service and special praise and worship music, and Wednesday night, and then they have all of these things involved in typical organized religion. That's not true at your church. You have a little bit of a different format. So what I'd like for you to do is take a minute and explain, if someone came to your church, and I'll give an illustration of that before I let you do that. But if someone came to your church, what would they typically expect to find? And before you tell that, I have a wonderful friend named Paul, who the Lord was dealing with not too long ago, and he's from that area, and he goes to Peach Church now. But he was asking one of his fellow workers, "Do you know where there's a church that I can go to?" And this guy said, "Well, you could come to mine, but I'm 80 miles away from where you live." And so this guy was buying gas one day, not Paul, but his friend was buying gas in Albany, Georgia, and he saw you with a T-shirt on.
That's right. Yeah.
And he asked you, "Hey, what kind of church is Albany Bible Church?" And you said, "Well, I'm the pastor." And anyhow, he told Paul about this, and Paul wandered over, and he's been there ever since. Because what he found at your church is what you typically don't find. So what's different about your church in a typical church? And let me say this. Peach Church is orthodox, mainstream, accurate, dead-on accurate. It's not something weird, but the way that they do things is a little different. So tell us about that, Pete.
Well, I guess when I think about the church, I think about the passage in Corinthians where Paul had warned the Corinthian believers about being moved away from the simplicity that's found in Christ. And Albany Bible Church, I think if you had one word to describe it, it would have to be simple, because we are dead on, as far as I'm concerned, the simplicity found in Christ, which means we emphasize, of course, faith in Christ, salvation, but we emphasize the teaching of the Word of God, and we would be classified more as a teaching church. And so those who are interested in learning the Word of God systematically, understanding what the Word of God teaches, learning what the Christian life is all about from the perspective of the Word of God, this is what we try to do.
And you do this, give me a typical week in your church.
Well, we have Sunday morning. We have a double session on Sunday morning. We used to do Sunday night, but we don't do Sunday night now. We give that for family time. But we do a double session on Sunday morning.
Now, what is a double session? Explain. Right. Nobody knows what that means.
All right. A double session means that I start at 9:30 and teach for an hour. And I have a PowerPoint projector and so forth. And we teach a class. I'm teaching a series now, which I've entitled This Land. And we stop at 10:30, take a break, have some coffee. Then we come back, and I generally pick up where I left off at 11 o'clock.
So you teach 2 hours on Sunday morning.
I teach 2 hours on Sunday morning, right.
Do you have a choir?
No, we do not have a choir. We have special music. I've got some very, very talented people in my church. And we have special music occasionally, but we do not have a choir as such.
So the major emphasis in your church is not on music, but on teaching the Word of God.
Exactly. Right. We love music. We appreciate music. I've got several music teachers, as a matter of fact, to teach in some of the schools around. Mm-hmm. But they want to know what the Word of God says. They're more interested in hearing the teaching of the Word than they are in
now, is Sunday the only time you meet?
No, we also come back on Monday evening at 7:30 and have a Bible class for an hour. And then we come back on Wednesday evening at 7:30 and have an hour Bible class.
So basically you're teaching 4 hours of biblical instruction a week.
Yes, at the church, right.
Mm-hmm. That causes you to have to study a lot.
Yes, it does. I've been doing this now 35 years. I told someone the other day I'm studying more now than I've ever studied in my entire life.
So now, in regards, what about your children's ministry? Do you have a lot of kids in your church?
We have a good nucleus of kids. We probably have, I would say, 45 kids in our church. As a matter of fact, in our teen class, last week, we had 19 in our teenage class. Yes. And they, too, are getting the teaching of the Word, which is very, very important.
Now, in regards to the way that you teach, this may be kind of a hard question. I don't think so, but a lot of people teach a lot of different ways, topically, you know, on a topic or maybe getting into different. Explain when you teach your method of teaching and what you do.
Well, basically, the method that I try to use is the old method. I don't know if you have mentioned this to you on the air before, but it's the principle of ice. You eisegogics and categorical and exegetically. And sometimes, well, for instance, I'll give you a for instance. During the week on Monday and Wednesday, I'm doing a book study. I do a book study during the week. And then on Sundays, often I will do a topic or a character or sometimes another book. But my method of teaching is the fact that I am interested in, first of all, finding out what the original language has to say about any event that I'm studying or either any topic that I'm studying. And I don't, I don't talk in the Greek or teach in the Greek, but whenever the language warrants it, then I want to bring out specific things that are important in the language. Because to me, this is the only way that you can ascertain actually what's going on in the passage, is to be able to communicate what the original writers said and what the Holy Spirit had led.
So being able to go back and study the Word and how it was written, what it meant then and what it means today. And
yes.
How it could have lost its meaning in translation.
Right, right. Because today you have so many different translations and paraphrase editions. You've got, you know, Bibles for all sorts of categories of people. And we have to be careful with these because what the original says, as far back as close as we can get to the original, is the easiest way to be faithful to what God has originally given to us.
Now, one of the things, for example, some folks may go to a church and they'll have a January Bible study, and they'll study the book of Romans for a week, or they'll study the book of Ephesians for a week. Before I ask you this question, have you taught through any full books of the Bible?
You mean taught through the full book? Oh, yes, yes.
Give me a book you've taught.
Oh, my goodness. I've taught through Isaiah in the Old Testament. I've taught through Exodus. I've taught through Jeremiah in the New Testament. I've taught all the way through the Gospels. I've taught the book of Acts, all the Pauline epistles.
An hour at a time, have you taught through the book of Ephesians?
Oh, yes.
So about how many hours did it take for you to teach the book of Ephesians?
Several hundred.
So you mean if someone wanted to listen to you teach Ephesians, they're going to have to listen to several hundred hours?
Yes.
And do you have that available?
Well, we have made a transition from our used to do cassettes. We are transitioning over now to CDs. We started CDs back several years back, so I've got books like Philemon, Philippians, and most of Ephesians on CD.
And they are available.
They are available, yes.
And I know the answer to this, but the audience may not know. What does it cost to get them?
It costs absolutely nothing.
You mean you give all this out free?
Everything is free. All CDs or whatever, any kind of literature, whatever we put out is all free, yes.
See, folks, this is what grace is, grace in action. Grace never charges for anything. And Pete and I both understand that in our ministries. We know that if God's in it, God will pay for it. So it may come all nice, packaged up, and look real nice, and printed up real nice, but you can't buy it. It's absolutely free.
Yes, it's free.
Now, that's an amazing concept. So when you're teaching in your local church, and you may be teaching like through the book of Philippians, and it may take several hundred hours to do it. So people come, and they stay with you, and they study every day, and they learn every day. And what do you find is the greatest distraction to people not growing in grace, not becoming mature believers? As a pastor, what's the greatest distraction you see?
Well, I think right now in the time in which we are, the greatest distraction are distractions. In other words, I've been teaching an awful lot lately about priority and how that God does not play second fiddle, and yet how that so often we play the game and we give lip service and sometimes even show up occasionally, but we are not consistent in taking in the word. I think consistency is probably the primary problem we have because the families are so busy, wives and husbands both working, children in sports, children in all sorts of things. And so they're just distracted from being consistent in the Bible studies.
Yeah, when you're saying taking in the Word, what do you mean by taking in the Word?
Taking in the Word, of course, I mean is just the fact that you are there in Bible class or where you take in or where you listen to the teaching of the Word of God, making sure that you're filled with the Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, teaching the Word of God to you. That's so what I mean by taking in the Word.
You mean either you're sitting face-to-face,
right,
or you're home with a tape recorder or a CD player,
right. Mm-hmm.
And you're listening undistracted.
Undistracted, right.
To the teaching of the Word of God.
Right. Disciplining yourself. To me, this is the advantage of face-to-face or being in a local church. Because when you're at home or whatever, you can turn it off and go run, do this, run an errand, come back, try to pick up where you left off. Or you decide, well, I'm only going to do it for 20 minutes because that's all the time I have, so you turn it off. Well, you can lose the continuity of the class and the lesson that you're... if you're going to study like that, if you're going to study by tape or CD, get your notebook, get your Bible, set yourself aside the time to study, take notes. And that's the key to it, I think.
So if somebody wanted to study your information, they could contact you at albanybiblechurch.org, and they could get a list of what you have available, and they could get a tape player, a CD player, and sit down around their kitchen table or at their desk and get their Bible and notebook and start studying.
Yes, they could, yeah.
And this is no different from a lot of other pastors that I know also. But some even would sell their stuff, you know.
Yeah,
You can get this special study from this preacher for a gift of $19.95.
Right, right.
No gift required at Albany Bible Church.
No. We made that commitment when I first came that we would not charge for anything that we put out, whether it was there in the church, teaching, the recordings, any literature. The decision was made 35 years ago that it would all be free. It comes to us free, so we give it free.
And in a few minutes that we have left in the show, what direction do you see Christianity going in America today? What do you see happening, and where do you see your part of this plays?
I see Christianity moving away from the consistent study of the Word of God, and this saddens me greatly. I see a movement, a continued movement toward experience, entertainment for the kids, instead of teaching them the biblical truths and the events of the Word of God. They're being entertained, and this, of course, is producing very shallow Christians. And I see that this is a great detriment in the time in which it parallels what I see paralleling this. There's two parallel tracks, as it were. One has to do with the fact that we have failed to teach our children the heritage of America. And paralleling this has been the failure to teach them the spiritual heritage also in America. Our American heritage, as far as our founding fathers and our Constitution, most of the kids today coming out of high school and even college have no idea what the Constitution actually says and teaches. Mm-hmm. And the problem is many Christians, to parallel that, many Christians have no idea about the spiritual life. Many of them have been saved for a long time, but they do not know the specifics that you were talking about earlier, about being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And so this is what I see, and it really saddens me greatly, because I see a lack of real interest and hunger for the Word of God. I see more of the isolationists, all the technology, which is wonderful. We're using some of it right here, but the technology, I think, is causing us to more or less separate and isolate ourselves rather than continuing to meet as believers, get under the teaching of the Word of God. I see us kind of pulling back and isolating ourselves. And I think this is going to be detrimental.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the greatest embarrassment of all eternity is for the child of God to arrive at the judgment seat of Christ in some sort of resurrection body and then discover that he failed to execute God's plan. Yeah. That he went through his entire life and he either got duped into thinking that this is what the Christian life is, right, or else he got distracted and discouraged and went off down the my way highway and kind of did his own thing. But in this radio show, we try to stick to motivating individuals with the truth, giving them the truth, and letting them see the opportunities that are there. There are a lot of men like Pete Daughtry that are teaching the Word of God all across this country. Of course, it's not my job to promote any church, and it's not my job to tell you where to go to church, but it certainly is my job to tell you that the Bible says that you are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's not a request, that's the mandate from the commander. The Bible also says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The whole concept, I believe, the reason God put this here is so that you can receive correct biblical information so that you can build an inventory of rational thought in your mind. The spiritual life is lived in your mind. It's lived in what you think. And God says when he wants to check you out, he checks out your thinking. He looks at your heart. That's the real you. And without the concepts of the Word of God functioning in your life, for example, if you don't understand the protocol plan of God and how it works, you can wind up doing a right thing, but doing it in the wrong way. I mean, it's always right to pray, and it's always right to go to church. But there's a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church. There's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. So if you don't understand the basics of the Christian life, you wind up doing all the right things, but you wind up doing them in the wrong way.
Exactly.
Pete, we only have a few minutes left, just a few seconds, really, but thank you for being with us today. And thank you for sharing this information. And it is my prayer that God, the Holy Spirit, will use it to challenge those who heard you today. And maybe they'll contact you, get in touch with you.
Thank you very much, Rick. I certainly appreciate being here today.
All right, sir. And if you're listening today and you've never made the greatest decision, I trust that you will consider receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember, the Bible says now is the day of salvation, and that's today. And remember, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.